Chapter 6. Time to Escape. On Friday, I approached our tree for my meeting with Michael and saw him talking to someone there. I stared in surprise at the girl standing next to him. It was Abigail. She touched the star pendant on his neck and said, "That's a pretty pendant." Abigail couldn't know about Michael and me. It was too dangerous. So I hid behind a tree, hoping she would leave soon. I heard Abigail laughing softly and saw her whispering something in Michael's ear. She was flirting with him. I was furious. "I could be your girlfriend if you like," she said with a smile. "Don't you want that, Michael?"
"Sorry, Abigail," Michael said, "but I've already got a girlfriend."
"Really?" Abigail said, her voice filled with jealousy. "Who is she? Tell me. Do I know her?"
"It's a secret," Michael answered.
Suddenly, I had the impulse to come out. I didn't want to keep it a secret anymore.
"Hello, Abigail," I said, stepping out into the moonlight.
Abigail was very surprised to see me. Then her eye caught my star pendant, and I saw a look of jealousy appear on her face.
"Ah, I see," she said. "How sweet. You have both got the same star pendant.
You know the star is a symbol of witchcraft. I would be careful wearing those pendants around town if I were you. Who knows? Someone might accuse you of witchcraft," she added hatefully and walked away. Michael watched her go with a serious expression on his face.
"Be careful of her," he said. "She's trouble."
"She likes you," I said, trying not to sound jealous.
"Well, that doesn't matter because I like someone else," Michael said and hugged me. Then his smile disappeared, and he looked at me worried.
"Sarah, you need to listen. Your mother is in danger. Abigail just told me that Mary came to their house and spoke to the minister. She accused your mother of witchcraft."
"My mother fired her for stealing," I explained. "She's just trying to cause trouble for my mother."
"But Mary said your mother fired her because she caught your mother doing some black magic," Michael said.
"That's crazy. This persecution of witches is crazy. Michael, you must talk to your father and convince him this situation is ridiculous. He's going to execute more innocent people. You must make him stop."
"It's not for me to tell my father how to do his job," Michael said uncomfortably.
"It is if what he's doing is cruel," I protested.
"Cruel? Don't accuse my father like that," Michael cried. Michael and I rarely argued. I looked into his angry face and felt tears filling my eyes. I managed to say, in an emotional whisper,
"I'm sorry, Michael, but remember this. Bad things happen when good people do nothing."
I turned around and ran all the way home. I told my parents I had seen Michael Howard with a group of friends, and he had warned me about Mary's accusations. I had never seen my father look so worried. He didn't even mention the fact that Michael and I weren't allowed to talk to each other.
"We can't stay here," he said to my mother. "I won't let them do anything to you."
"Nobody will take Mary's accusation seriously," Mother said. "She's a simple girl. It's obvious she's lying."
But Father wasn't prepared to take any risks. He wanted to be ready. Quickly, he packed a few of our belongings in case we needed to escape suddenly.
Later that evening, a messenger came to our house and told us that my family had to appear before the governor the next morning for questioning. When the messenger left, Father decided that it was time to escape. We ran to the barn and saw some smoke coming from the hay, like there had been a small fire there.
"What's this from?" I asked, pointing to the smoke.
"There's no time to investigate now, and it doesn't matter," my father cried. "We need to leave immediately."
"But someone was here in the barn and tried to set fire to the hay. It's still smoking. Look! They left their lamp here," I cried, pointing to a little oil lamp
which had been used to start the fire. It was still burning brightly. In the light of the lamp, we all suddenly saw writing on the wooden beam above us. "Witches and witch lovers, you won't escape." Somebody was trying to stop us from leaving. Maybe they had tried to frighten away the horses by lighting the fire. We were lucky that the wind had extinguished it.
"Come on, Sarah, we must hurry," my father cried.
That's when I saw the star pendant lying on the floor near the smoking hay. I stared at it in amazement. Michael had been here. Had he tried to start a fire? It had to be him. But why would he do that? My head was spinning. I heard my father's urgent call in the darkness.
"Come on, Sarah! Let's put the saddles on the horses and go!"
I jumped on my horse behind my mother, and the three of us rode away into the darkness, towards the town gate. We were running to save our lives. But all I could think about was Michael's betrayal. I concluded that after our argument, he realized that we might try to escape and tried to stop us. That was the only explanation. My heart broke with this thought. How could you, Michael? We rode through the side streets, and within a few minutes, we were on the main road leading out of the town. I could see my father was relieved.
"We made it," he said.
Just then, we heard someone shout,
"Stop where you are, or we'll shoot."
My father got off his horse and held up his arms. An officer and several armed soldiers stepped forward, pointing their guns at us. Then, to our surprise, the officer said,
"Sarah Smith, you are under arrest for witchcraft."